Are there any places for you where the presence of God just feels tangible and thick, more so than any other place? Just a place where God just seems particularly close. Would that be maybe in the woods, maybe by a graveside of a loved one? If you're a big football fan, maybe Lucas Oil Stadium. Is there a place where God just seems particularly close to you? Ancient Celtic peoples had a name for these kinds of places where God just seemed close. So they called them thin places. Thin places, places where the veil between heaven and earth just seemed thinner than other places. Places where it's like you're standing on the very threshold of heaven, right on the doorstep of God. There's a story in Genesis about thin places, about a thin place. There's a character named Jacob, and you've probably heard his name in Genesis. Before Jacob is tricked by his father-in-law into consummating his marriage with the wrong sister, one of the great mysteries of the Bible, before Jacob is father of Joseph, Jacob is a trickster, and he's on the run from his brother Esau, who wants to kill him. And Jacob has tricked his brother out of his birthright. He stole his father's blessing. He's running away. And so as he's running, he comes to this place where he decides to lay his head on a rock and go to sleep. It's quite amazing that God chooses to work through people like Jacob. And Jacob has this dream as he's laying there with his head on a rock that he sees heaven opened. And he sees a stairway going to heaven. And he sees angels coming down and going up this stairway to heaven. And to this broken, fearful trickster of a man who's asleep, God promises. He says the same blessing that he gave to his great-grandfather Abraham. He says, I will bless you, and you are going to be a great nation. I'm going to work through you to save the world. And Jacob wakes up and he says, surely God was here, and I did not even know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This here is the gate of heaven. In other words, it was a thin place, and God was there and met him there. And that's the reason why Israelites for generations afterward worshipped at Bethel. Early on in the Old Testament, they worshipped at Bethel because it was a thin place. You could meet God there and receive his blessings there. And again, I'm just continually amazed that God chooses to work through dysfunctional families like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you want to hear about dysfunction, read about Jacob's family life. But God meets him at a thin place at Bethel. And actually, this is the role of the temple throughout the story of the Bible. Temples aren't familiar to us in our culture. But to understand what's happening in the Bible, it's helpful to understand the symbolism and the meaning of temples. The temple in Jerusalem, or earlier on, the tabernacle, the tent where people would go, was the thin place. The place where you would go and God's space and human space would overlap and heaven and earth would come together here in these temples, and a person would make a sacrifice to be purified, to come into God's presence, and there at this thin space, they would receive heaven's blessings, like God blessed Jacob there at Bethel. You would go to the temple to receive heaven's blessings, fertile land and rain for the crops so that there would not be starvation, peace from warfare, lots of children to help work the land and carry on human existence. All of these blessings would come from heaven, and you'd go to the temple to meet God and ask him for these things. The temple was a thin space that joined heaven and earth, because heaven and earth had become separated. In the beginning of Genesis, we see in the Garden of Eden there was a time when this space of God's and the space of humanity, it was together. Heaven and earth were one in the Garden of Eden, and God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, and there was no separation between heaven and earth. There was no need for a temple because all of creation was a temple. All of creation was one with heaven until, of course, sin cut off earth from heaven, and all of creation was affected. And so earth becomes this space of hardship, the space of injustice, the space of warfare, all of which we see from the very beginning in the Old Testament. Read Genesis and you see the effects. You see you see this hardship, warfare, and injustice. And of course, God's space, heaven, is the space of truth, of goodness, of beauty, of prosperity. So the mission of God in the story of the Bible is always about rejoining heaven and earth, bringing God's space and human space together. And that's what happens in the temple. The temple is a sign of that. The temple was designed to look like the Garden of Eden. It was designed to be the space where heaven and earth came together and human beings could meet with God and receive his blessing. Are you with me so far? That's what the temple does throughout the Bible story. So in our gospel reading today from John, we get this strange promise from Jesus to his followers. He's having a conversation with Nathanael. Nathanael's really impressed that Jesus knows he's sitting under a fig tree at some point in the day. And so Nathanael, he must have been a hasty, impulsive person like Peter, because he just immediately jumps to the conclusions. Jesus, you are the Messiah we've been waiting for. He wasn't wrong. Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And those are two titles that were given to this expected Messiah, this political leader who would drive out Israel's enemies, who would unite Israel and bring peace and prosperity. And Jesus looks to him and he says, I'll one-up you with that. I'll raise the ante here. Yes, I am those things, but hear this. Very truly I tell you, this is the verse 51 of our reading today, you will see heaven opened, and you'll see angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, have you ever read those words and thought, what in the world is that talking about? Because if you read on in the Gospel of John and the other Gospels, there are no scenes of angels coming down back and forth from heaven. So what is Jesus talking about here? And the answer is he's using an Old Testament picture. The picture of Jacob, Jacob's ladder. Every New Testament truth has an Old Testament picture. And we can see this relationship whenever we read our Bibles. You read the Old Testament and you say, what is this illustrating in the New Testament? In the New Testament, you can say, where is the picture of this in the Old Testament? Jesus says to his disciples, yes, I am the Son of God. Yes, I am the Messiah, the one to unite Israel, but I'm going to do so much more than that. I am Jacob's ladder. I am the intersection of heaven and earth. I am the place where you will meet God, the person in which you will meet God. I am the new temple. Instead of going to the temple to be with God in one place on earth, now God is accessible. God will be accessible everywhere through me. Truth and goodness and beauty from heaven will be universally accessible through me. And this theme gets repeated in the Gospels. This is, our ears aren't in tune with this because we aren't Jews who worshipped in a temple at any points in our life. But if we understand the theme of the temple, we see what Jesus is getting at here. Remember last week when Jesus has his baptism, heaven is opened. He becomes this intersection of heaven and earth coming together. In John 2, the next chapter, there's this story of Jesus going into the temple, the place that was supposed to be an intersection of heaven and earth, and he sees salesmen ripping off the poor, selling them animals for their sacrifices that they have to have, but selling them at a great profit. And Jesus flips over the tables. He drives out the moneylenders from the temple, and he says, tear down this temple in 3 days, and I'll raise it again. And no one knows what he's talking about. But of course, he's making the point. I am this new temple. I am now the place where heaven and earth come together. This is where it's all going to happen. And so Jesus becomes the reality in which the temple is supposed to point throughout the Old Testament. Jesus becomes heaven on earth. He is God and he is human. He is spirit and he is dust. All of the wonders and the blessings and the goodness of heaven now come through Jesus Christ. So I'll pause here. This has been very theoretical. There's lots of theology happening here. If you're not familiar with this biblical imagery, this may be hard to follow. But here is where we can begin to sink our teeth into this. Okay? Jesus has died, Jesus has risen, he has ascended, and he has poured out his Holy Spirit on his followers. He has poured his Spirit out on you and me. Hopefully, you all. I would hope you've received the Spirit of God in you. And what the New Testament claims is that as Jesus was an intersection of heaven and earth together, so now when you receive the Holy Spirit, you too are blessed and called to be an intersection of heaven and earth. Heaven and earth together. God, Spirit, and flesh together. So here's an image. Sheree, if you want to put this up for me. This is an image that helps illustrate this. An image which I'm borrowing from my uncle Mark Van Valen that I saw him use week after week when I was a student at Spring Arbor University. It's a simple illustration that points this reality. Those of us who have been born again, who have received God in us, we become temples. We become places where God dwells, places where heaven and earth come together. We are, as God's people, a bridge between a hurting world and a loving God. A connection between this creation that is broken and separated from the blessings of heaven and connecting it with God our Creator, who pours out all, you know, the song we sing at the doxology, from whom all blessings flow. We become that connection. We as the church become the messengers of the truth and the beauty and the goodness and all of the wonders and blessings of heaven for our world. I think this is what Peter means when he calls the church a royal priesthood, and he calls the church living temple stones. See, as in temples, priests would mediate God's presence to others. They would make God present for people. And as Christians, when we are full of God's Spirit, we become priests. We become the bringers of God's presence to our world. And so all of Christian life, when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we are born again, brought into this family and communion of God, we get to live this life of breathing in the goodness of heaven and breathing it out to our world, receiving it and giving it, receiving and giving. This is the rhythm of Christian life, receiving the love and the blessings of God and offering that to our world. Breathing in, breathing out, being these stick men, you know, holding heaven and earth together, joining them together. As we worship together, as we sing, as we pray, as we receive Jesus' body and blood at the table here, we're receiving heaven. We are joining in this sacred. Come in. It's a symbol of God's presence with us. Jesus said of the bread and the wine, this is my body, this is my blood. Heaven and earth come together here in this worship. As we fellowship and love one another, we are participating in the fellowship of heaven, the communion of the saints. As we are sent from here, every Sunday we're sent from here. We are sent on mission. We are sent to bring this love and this grace and this heaven with us to our world. I remember as Jesus, when he gives the Great Commission, where he says, go and make disciples. Then there's this ending part. Remember, I'm with you always. And Jesus, who is the temple, the intersection of heaven and earth, he goes with us. And we bring Jesus with us wherever we work, where we play, where we shop. We become the messengers of heaven to our world. And so I challenge us today to begin to open our eyes to this. We're seeing Jesus in this season of Epiphany. We're having Christ revealed to us. May it be revealed to you that you are an intersection of heaven and earth. You are heaven and earth coming together. As you become like Christ, you become what you've always meant to be. Dust of the earth and the Spirit of God joined together. So as we live, so we bring heaven to our world as we live in this time of chaos, when we bring hope and peace in this challenging year, we are bringing heaven with us. As we let go of grudges and forgive and we love our enemies, we are bringing the blessing of heaven with us. As we are peacemakers, as we speak truth with love, all of this, as we bring this to our world, we are bridging a hurting world with a loving God. And the New Testament reminds us of this. You are now priests. Go, therefore, and bring the hope of heaven with you. You yourself, in your body, where you work, live, and play, you become a signpost pointing to a heavenly reality that's coming to fill the earth. So it's important, I think, as we begin to wrap this up and bring this to a close, just to mention that tomorrow's a special day. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day, and most inner-city schools have this day off, which we do not here in Kokomo, which is sad. We should honor this day and remember Dr. King, who was a man with a biblical vision of the kingdom of God coming to earth. He was a prolific leader in the civil rights movement. He had a vision of God's kingdom being manifested here on earth through reconciliation and peace between all peoples. The goal was not just civil rights for one ethnicity, but it was reconciliation and brother and sisterhood and the communities of earth reflecting the love and the fellowship of the kingdom of God. In Montgomery, Alabama, after a civil rights victory, when they struck down some busing laws, Dr. King reminded those who were listening, "Keep in mind that a boycott and its achievements do not in and of themselves represent the goal. The end is reconciliation. The end is redemption. The end is the creation of the beloved community." Of course, by beloved community, he means the community of the kingdom of God. And that is God's work in this community, bringing reconciliation, reconciling us to one another, to ourselves, and reconciling us to God, that all things would be reconciled and joined in fellowship with God. So in a few minutes, we're going to join Dr. King and all of the saints in heaven in praying these words, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." May that be our prayer each and every day. May we pray, may we see God's kingdom take root here in Kokomo as it is in heaven. Will you pray with me?